Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This week on Rockstar Superhero. The Oklahoma Kid is a metalcore inspiration of the highest order. I became a recent fan, and it's easy to say that I'll probably stay that way for a long time. The band has a reputation for really giving it to the fans, and the music hits me so hard I don't know if I can claim I have 20/20 vision anymore. Their killer bass player, Robert Elfenbein, is a shining example of what it means to be an in-the-pocket rhythm player, and our conversation was a total blast. The band's new album, Tangerine Tragic, is a verifiable 11-track beast, and it's my pleasure to tell you all about it today. So, jump into your headphones or tap along in your car, because this is amazing. This is my interview with the German metalcore powerhouse known as the Oklahoma Kid, and this is Rockstar Superhero. I love your band. It's been the greatest surprise for me.
Thanks, man. Thanks. Nice to hear that we have acquired some fans.
Yes. Well, it's nice to meet another Robert as well. I don't know if you know this, but the name Robert means shining or bright.
Yeah, I knew that. It's like, I don't know where the origin of this name from. I think it's like Roman Empire stuff or so. I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, nice to meet another Robert as well.
Yeah.
And I heard another name for Robert is also Dick. Is it?
For me?
No. You can name a Robert also Dick. It's like the same thing.
I've never heard of this. Isn't that an
American thing? You're from America, right?
I am, but I've never heard that.
Robert Dick, I'm looking it up right now.
No, that's okay. I go by Robbie, Robert, and Bob. Bob would be the one, I think,
Bob. Bob is it.
That was my dad, for example. So I'm a junior, so my dad was a Bob. And that's sort of an old-fashioned way of putting the names. It's not very common anymore.
Yeah.
It's cool, though. We've got a great name, man.
Wise decision from our parents.
That's right. Well, you know, like I say, it's just downloaded from heaven, man. Like, you know, God's up there going, hey, I think I want to make a really cool guy. I'm going to make his parents name him Rob.
Rob. And he became an atheist. Yeah. Really smart decision.
Exactly.
I'm speaking for me.
No, I know. Yeah. So I heard this thing that was really interesting. I don't know, a couple of years ago, this guy was talking about God, right? And he was saying, isn't it interesting that if God exists, he gave people free will so they could choose not to believe in him? And I was
exactly,
like,
yeah.
That's such a fascinating thing. You know, even that subject alone is enough to probably talk an hour about, but we're not going to kill you with religion speak today. So it's okay.
Yeah, but nice touch.
So tell me about Oklahoma Kid. I'm curious, you know, I'm in America, as you mentioned a second ago, and, you know, I know about the band. I've discovered the band. It's been a recent discovery for me, but I love what you do, and I think you're perfect for the American musical palette. We love music like the Oklahoma Kid, and I'm curious, how large is your American audience? I mean, are we your biggest audience, or are European audiences more familiar with you?
I think I have a metrics on my phone. There's a handy app you can use for Spotify. And I think US American crowd is the second biggest right after Germany, which is our home country.
Makes sense. Yeah.
But it's really close. And it's surprising that that it's flourished so much overseas,
yeah,
especially in the US and in Europe, not that much, but that's the most part of it. Yeah, but yeah, but Germany and then US, and after that, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I think stylistically, you're very similar to the approach of what we like here, right? A little more hardcore, a little more intense, and yet super melodic. And I don't know, you feel like the kind of band that I, you know, if I see live, I'm going to be jumping around and stage diving as often as possible.
Yeah, we try to be a bit more melodical and to somehow break some patterns and some stereotypes we have in the metal genre, in the metalcore genre. Mm-hmm. But we also have to stick to our roots and to use what's best. And so you always have to go with some hard parts, like you said, jumping around, and also and then you need the good chorus, the nice, the vocal lines everyone recognizes in after they heard it. So that's like a really important part to get in touch with the people.
Yeah, I think the reason I was so drawn to it, and I don't know if you've heard this before, but the band sounds like a modern version of 80s hardcore punk. Have you heard this before?
No, I never heard this comparison.
Yeah. Especially what they call in America, what they call New York punk, or the New York scene, the New York hardcore sound.
Okay.
So, I mean, I would definitely check that out, but there's something about it that reminds me of it. And it's probably because I'm a lot older than you. I'm 56 years old. And so,
okay, that's 21 years older than me. And I'm also recognized as an old person. I'm the oldest in the band.
Thank you for calling me really old. That's so perfect. But you know what? You know what?
No. I mean,
I'm awesome because I love your music.
No, in terms of stepping on a stage with this music, you can't be 70 years old. It's yes. Not working. No one. It's not selling it. So you have to be a bit youthful. So, yeah. I don't want to insult you. Sorry, man.
No. It's fine. I embrace it. It's funny. The older I get, the more I like being older. If I don't know if that makes sense, but I think it's because I really like doing this to my audiences. Right. I like the idea of flipping my audience the bird in my behavior, because I don't want to be the stereotypical 56-year-old guy. I want to be the guy that everybody says he never grew up. But I'm listening to fantastic music all the time, and I think Oklahoma Kid is going to be huge. I really do believe this, and I know I say this about a lot of bands, because I only have bands on my show that I genuinely like. But I think the Oklahoma Kid is very, very special. And I think when people hear this, my listeners, they're gonna check you out. They're gonna fall in love with you. You know, that's what's gonna happen. You watch.
I hope so. We really want to reach out to everyone and give them the chance to hear us and to like us and to get things moving. Because as I already mentioned, we're not in our early 20s. We're already in our 30s, mid-30s. So, so at some point, there has to be huge development.
Yeah.
But we're working on it.
Right. But I look at pictures of you guys. I mean, if you hadn't have said anything, Rob, I would have never known. You look like early 20s. You look very young.
Praise Photoshop. Praise Photoshop.
Is that what it actually is?
I think some kind of filters were used in the editing. Everyone does it. But,
oh, my God.
It's not intentional. It's not like, oh, damn, we look too old. Do something. Please do something about it. I think it's just got edited, and we think, yeah, cool. And it's not like we want to hide our age. I would never make myself younger. And it's just to appeal to a younger audience. It is what it is.
Yeah. Well, I'm a drummer, and I will tell you that when
I'm a bassist.
yeah. So that's why we're cool, because we get the rhythm thing together.
Exactly.
But, you know, I have always thought, when I look back at my own career and life, I thought, you know, the 30s is where I was sort of at my most physically fit and probably looked the best for an ugly guy, you know? So you're doing just fine, buddy.
Thanks. I think the same, though. When in your early 20s, of course, you're young. Yeah. But you're a bit stupid. You haven't thought all the things out. But when you're 30, you have had a bit more wisdom, and you're still pretty young and pretty fit. So, and you can really work with this. This is a good baseline to get things done in life. Yeah. And from that point on, when you get older, it's only deteriorating. Going from shit to worse.
Yeah, when you're in your 20s, you're definitely stupid. When you're in 30s, you're kind of stupid. When you're in your 40s, you're a little stupid. When you're in 50s, everybody thinks you're smart, but you're really, really, really stupid. So anyways, let's get to the band. How did the band come together? I'm going to ask you some basic questions because my listeners don't know much about you. So tell me how the Oklahoma Kid formed.
Yeah, I think we have to get through the cookie cutter questions. Okay, let's say there's a really old, really long ago we formed, but it was just like a quick idea from our guitar player and our vocalist guy, and okay. it's already like 15 years ago, 2007. Wow. But the project, they did nothing. It was just a name and just a couple of shows and wrote some song, not really big. And the band really started in 2012. That's when we got another guitar player and we looked out for a drummer. And 1 year later, 2013, I was added to the band. And then we really started to take things more seriously and produced our own music.
Yeah. Okay. So the core five came together really when you were added. Are you
exactly,
the last?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, we had some changes in the last years, new guitar player, new drummer, but pretty much we have a solid core of three people.
Yeah. Yeah, being in a band is so hard because there's so much at stake. There's a lot of politics, there's a lot of emotions. Who's sort of running it, who's writing songs, you know, and it's very hard. But yeah, whatever I'm hearing now, you know, especially your latest music, the latest material you've released is really stunning. So it's clear that you guys have done the work.
Yeah, we over the years we figured out how to contribute to work and who's the best. Everyone should stick to your guns, to play your own strengths. You have to know. So I'm not a really good musician myself. I'm not a good songwriter, but I'm good in logistics and planning things out and doing contracts and looking things up on the internet and figuring out a schedule for things. That's my thing I like. And you need these people in your band. If you have five songwriters, you will never have someone who rents a car or who books a hotel. But you have many songs. Okay, fair enough. But you need someone to do all the other stuff. And we got some guys in the bands who are more the productive and creative minds, and some more like me, a bit more not that creative, but figure right. things out.
Well, you're very creative and you're a very good player. I can hear that in the material. So, I mean, don't hit yourself too hard.
Thanks.
But I do understand, and it makes sense why I'm talking to you as well, because you're the one that kind of handles, you know, the promo for the company, or I should say the band, right?
It's divided. Some things I do. I think I did the most interviews out of all of the band, and some people stay in contact with the label, some with the promotion agency and with a booking agency, and it's pretty much divided. Around three people do the most of the organization stuff. Yeah,
that makes sense. You know, it's interesting, when I first heard your material and I saw the name, of course I thought it was an American band, right? Because, you know, I mean, I know that's the trick, right? But where did you come up? I mean, you weren't there when they named the band, correct?
Exactly. I wasn't there, no.
Okay. So have you ever had an issue with Warner Brothers since they own the name The Oklahoma Kid? Is that an issue as far as, I mean, it's an 80-year-old movie, but, you know, I'm curious if anybody's ever said, hey, you can't call yourself The Oklahoma Kid.
I like it that you did your research and you actually looked up where the name comes from. Yeah, it's from the movie, but it's not directly from the movie because I never saw the movie.
Right.
I think, no, we don't have any problems till until now, but maybe in the future we have to rename ourselves and then we just called Oklahoma or, I don't know, the Massachusetts kid. I don't know, man. But so far, it's really good. Actually, I have to tell the tale because everyone asked for it, and the movie The Oklahoma Kid was mentioned in another movie in Goodfellas from the 90s, the mob movie. Yeah. And and Fred and Tom, our vocalist, our guitar guy, really liked the scene and like how Joe Pesci, what was the name, how was the movie called? The Oklahoma Kid? I'm the Oklahoma Kid. And and they really liked it. And at this time, it was really cool to name bands like that. All the metalcore, all the deathcore bands from that period of time, they had also crazy names. Abandon All Ships, We Came As Romans, whatever. Mm-hmm. And Bring Me the Horizon, And so we stick to it till today, and it's a bit of an old school name from that era, but we still like it and it's fine.
Oh, yeah. No, it absolutely fits. I think that's the key. I don't see how, you know, how, like, if you guys were called Glaciers.
That's a meta for today's band. That's a meta game for today's band. Polaris, Glaciers, all one word. One word's cool now. Back in the day, it was three words or as many words as possible. But I wrestled a beer once. So like, really long names were cool back then.
Right. But see, the whole the thing.
Yeah.
The Oklahoma Kid. The Oklahoma Kid. It's so old fashioned and it's such a statement. And the kind of music that you guys play, it just matches perfect. So good for you.
Since I never saw the original movie from the name, I hope the movie's not controversial. Because you know how the world is today, you have to be careful with what you say, how you think, and you have to treat everyone respectfully and be nice to everyone. And we totally support that. But I never saw the movie, and I know how back in the day things were done in other ways than it's 2022. So I don't know. I hope it's not bad for us. And someone says, but in the movie at 5:05, he says this and this word. And is this your opinion, or why you named yourself after this movie? You know how people work these days.
Yeah,
They're crazy.
Yeah, I don't think it really matters when you get down to it. I think what matters is that things match up, and that when an audience hears you or sees you, they believe that fits. And so without driving this thing into the ground, I think the name is perfect. And you have this new album coming out, Tangerine Tragic.
Yeah, it's already out. It's already released.
Right. Yeah. I know. I'm just trying to be that guy. But tell me a little bit about that. I mean, it's 11 tracks of ferocity. I mean, it's a brutal, brutal piece of work, and I really dig what I've heard. So I don't necessarily want to just hit on names constantly, but you know, why Tangerine Tragic? Because that sounds like Smashing Pumpkins to me. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's a kind of an aloof title.
The name, the origin of the name for the record is former girlfriend from our guitar player. They're still friends. Not like but no bad blood. No, this kind of stuff. She likes to write poems, and she wrote a poem, and it was called Tangerine Tragic. And the name has a nice sound to it, nice ring, and our guitar player asked her, can we use that name? And she said yes. And so we picked this name for the record. And I think it's the name. You don't, like you said, it can be Smashing Pumpkins, it can be a Sade record, it can be a country record, it can be anything. So the name is pretty timeless and doesn't say anything. It's not called Brutal Slaughter XXX or something.
Right. So
like you can, it fits to any genre and it has a nice sound to it. I think that's the most important part. It's really sounds good.
Well, so it's interesting that you hit on that, because I was thinking about that. I was thinking, you know, the name of the band, of course, in America, we would automatically assume you're a country band, right? That's what, if we don't know anything, that's what we would assume. And to me, the humor, the tongue-in-cheek idea would be that every one of your albums has a country title, right? Like, My Truck Ran Over My Dog, you know, things like that, right? But you're actually a hardcore, metalcore, metal, yeah. You know what I mean? I love that idea.
Yeah, we didn't thought about it so far. Now we already got two records, and they don't sound really country. But
no,
yeah.
Definitely not.
Maybe for the future.
Yeah. So Fred is your primary songwriter, correct?
Exactly. He's the mastermind in terms of productivity and creativity.
Yeah. Gotcha. So you, as a bass player, is it more about adding your own color? Or do you play the songs exactly as he's written them? You know, like, I'm kind of curious about your songwriting process, because as a rhythm player myself, as a drummer, when I was playing a lot of music, I wasn't writing any of the material, but I was definitely a key component of the arrangements.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would certainly bring my own flavor to it. And that was a long time ago. Nowadays, everything tends to come, it seems, programmed. You know, they sort of write everything, you know, on GarageBand or whatever, and then present it to the band and say, here you go, what do you think? What's it like in your band?
It's exactly like you said. It's like Fred, over the time, he does more and more. He plays, he records the bass, the guitar, the sounds, the sample sounds, and also programs the drum. If someone has a better idea, he can bring it forward to him, and then we can see if we can make things work. And especially for drums are like, most of the times they're the cookie cutter beats, nothing special, right. Especially the drum fills and the little tricky stuff. And our drummer will like oversight all the songs and adds his own little magic to it. And yeah, and I, for my part, I can do that as well, but most of the times I'm pretty satisfied with the bass lines, and the only things I change is for live, and mostly I simplify some things to so it lives it's a bit more easy to play, and you can move a bit more and don't have to be like, what I'm playing right now,
right? How many notes do I have to stare at?
Yeah, exactly. I have to be honest. I make some things a bit simpler to have more energy life for the people in front of me.
Yes. Well, you understand, and this is why I think the band is going to be so big, because you understand that music is to be listened to, but when it's live, music is to be seen.
Exactly.
And right. And so, yeah, you understand. I don't want to talk about myself too much, but yeah, that was something that was always a focus in my life as well, is how do I simplify this? Because my desire as a musician was to play as many notes as possible. But as a listener, I always hated when bands did that, because I want to be captured by the energy, not the technicalities. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I totally understand you. When I started playing bass, and I think for the first, I'm almost playing 20 years bass, and I think for the first 10 years, it was like, I have to get better and sweeping on bass and tapping. And as a drummer, you say, oh, I need blast, I need gravity blast, I need this beat and too much and so much BPM. I think there are kind of two ways to look at it. There are some bands which are really gifted and super technically, like let's say Animals as Leaders, as an example. And right. I understand that when they're on the stage, they're not having the crazy performance and spinning guitars around, but nobody wants that. You see them, you listen to the music, it's so crazy, it's so artistic, it's so good. You're just in awe from this pure skill these guys put out. And then there's some middle of the road bands like us. We have some easy parts, like hardcore parts, and some technically parts, so you have to mix things up. But there are also bands who do simple music, but it's really difficult written, and yeah, and then you as a listener, you're what is this? It's too much. I don't know. Right. I can't get a grip on this, and yeah, it's a really fine line, and yeah, if we put it short, and you freak and really good, and everyone likes that you freak and really good, or you entertain the people. That's the other thing.
Right.
And
well,
we try to entertain because we are not prodigies of our instruments.
Right. Right. Well, no, I appreciate that. It's funny that you say that, but that's so true. Yeah. With animals as leaders, all three of those guys are absolute
insane.
Yeah. I mean, Matt's drumming, good God. I thought I was a great drummer, and then I heard Matt and I'm like, oh, I can't do that. You know, it's really something. And yet, yeah, you're correct. If bands who can't do it but try to do it, it feels inauthentic. It feels fake.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So Fred writes the material. You guys sort of put it together. You've obviously found a sweet spot because you're making music that is really, really heavy and hardcore but attractive. It's very melodic and exciting and inviting. I don't listen to lyrics. I'm awful at that. I admit this. Okay. So when I listen to the Oklahoma Kid, I'm listening to the music, the rhythms specifically, right? Which is why I'm paying attention to your bass. So I'm sorry, listeners, but it's true. So does the band write music based around a concept, or is it more about a feeling? Because feeling is so complex, but I think that's what captures an audience. What do you think?
What do you mean by a concept?
Well, okay, so if Fred says, I'm writing this album, are all the songs about the same sort of idea, the same theme, anger, love?
In terms of lyrics, mm-hmm. you say? Mm-hmm. No.
Okay.
Actually, it's done like we got the songs, bare bones, but without mm-hmm. most of the times without any vocals and mm-hmm. not even the lyrics, because you can put vocals on a song, but you without lyrics you can like sum it or put some fillers in. The lyrics I think are the last part which is done, and they are exclusively done by our vocal guy. And before that, there's like a cutout for how the vocals are done on the song, and then he writes the lyrics and puts it on. But how it's sung, it's already figured out and before. It's still the part we have the most difficulty with. I would say it's like really, it's so hard to do good vocals and to come up with creative stuff and to be catchy. Because it's the most important. Many bands say it's the most important part of the lyrics there, but they are really important because mm-hmm. most people identify with it. You are a musician. You listen to the instruments, but most of the people they don't have that insight. They're not. They just want to listen to music, and vocals emit the most of feelings and contact the most peoples, and so that's important. And yeah, we have to figure it out.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. You know, it is funny because I don't mean to be, and I don't know if you're like me, but I don't mean to be a snob about it. But yes, I'm listening to the music and I'm listening to the complexities or the things that capture me, and I'm hoping I hear them again, right? I don't want to hear a riff and then it goes away and I never hear it again. If it's a cool riff, I want it to repeat. But I think the reason the band is starting to take off is because there is a feeling that comes out of the music that is authentic. And so, again, for me, when I heard the material, my brain went, oh, they mean this. Does that make sense?
I think it... This comes from the fact that one person is writing all the parts, And so you don't have to patchwork things together. Like some guy says, but I want this guitar riff at this part. And the other guy says, no, it's not fitting. And then you have a little talk and an argument about it. And we don't have that. Fred is writing all the stuff. And so it comes like really natural. I think that's the feeling. But I know the feeling you're talking about. And yeah, sometimes you don't get that feeling. But yeah, for us, it's really good. And we write this way for almost 10 years now, over 10 years. Mm. And we're used to it. And it's also experience. You get your experience. And at some point, you know what works and what don't.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's clear that if, you know, Fred is bringing that all in and, you know, you, Rob, are putting in your, you know, again, maybe simplifying your bass, like you mentioned, but you're part of that arrangement process and putting your stamp on the music, it makes sense that the band sounds like a truly, you know, cohesive thing. It doesn't sound like five musicians trying to be five musicians, but right, you are a band, a true musical collective. It's awesome.
We're glued together.
Yeah. You know, this is kind of a question just for you, okay? But you know, the kind of music you guys do, this mix and match of angry and aggressive and hardcore and metallic and melodic, It's usually put out by people who have, they believe, something important to say, right? That they have something that's inside of them that they have to get out and they have to share it with an audience. And they hope that audience falls in love with their words and their message. And a lot of times bands like you are angry. I don't get that at all from Oklahoma Kid. I get happy guys, happy, fun guys. But is that, I mean, is the anger part of your message?
Anger? I wouldn't say so. No, we're really, we're happy guys. We're not angry. We like to party. We like to hang out with our fans. We're really extrovert like to
band of the people,
everyone. We're a band of the people, but it's natural. It's not forced. It's not like, oh, we have to go it's now to the people and talk to them. No, we really get like in contact. And in terms of anger, I think there are, when I think about the lyrics, most of the lyrics are a bit more about relationship with people, mm-hmm. and trouble with yourself,
right? And which we all identify with.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And some lyrics are a bit more about global problems, but but most of the lyrics are about relationships and about yourself, identifying yourself and be a better person.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that certainly makes sense because, you know, that's the human condition. We're all struggling in relationships and, you know, how to deal with things that happen in our lives and trying to always figure out how to be happy and to be our best selves, you know? I think being a musician, though, I talk about this every show. I think being a musician is, we're a little bit crazy. And I don't necessarily mean that. Right. Yeah. Yeah, I mean we're childish. We're very immature because we are very, you know, in America we would call it, we're very fleshly. We are about us, and it's not that we're trying to be selfish. It's just that if we're going to be happy as grownups and happy as musicians, we have to speak what's inside of us. Do you know what I mean? And so, you know, the age old question is being a musician, you know, about passion or is it about crazy, you know, being a curse? How do you feel about yourself? Do you feel like you're a musician because this is something you want to do or something you have to do?
it's something I want to do. It's really what I want to do because, it's a passion to the metal music. Like everyone, at some point you start as a musician and as a metal musician, you dive in the subculture of people, and some, it's like an outsider subculture, a bit. It's like on some lane on the side, and you have to identify with the music. When I started listening to heavier stuff, I slowly grew and listened to more and more heavier stuff, and I started to identify with it, and I found other people who did the same. And Oklahoma Kid was my first band. I played in many, many bands before.
Really?
And yeah, of course. I'm an old guy. And
I've been
an Oklahoma Kid since nine years now, I think.
Wow.
And the first band I played 2005. So, okay. Like, yeah. So, and so I wanted to become a musician. I didn't have the thought that I needed to become, because I'm don't want to diss myself, but I'm not like a super gifted musician, but I really wanted to do music. So yeah, it was a wish. And I took the steps.
Oh man. Well, I'm so jealous because I am the crazy narcissistic idiot who's terrified of life, and for me music was always a curse. It is still. I have to do it. Like, for me, I'm not really playing live anymore, but now I'm doing this, right? I'm spending time with great musicians like yourself, because I believe that, I don't want to say my time has passed, Rob, but I feel like the best thing I can offer the world of music nowadays is to find great bands like yourself and say, check this out. Like, this band is going to the places I always wished I could. And I for me, the blessing is connecting with guys like you who are super cool and lots of fun and easy to talk to. And the curse is that I have to do it or else I go crazy, because I am always looking to discover a new musical friend.
Oh, yeah, that's nice. But I think we are a bit in the same boat, because we also have bands we look up to and they play places we want to play. And then we see they're like 10 years younger than us and they are already ahead of us, if I want to name it like that. So there's always something to aspire to. And but it gives you some energy to get, it motivates you to work harder and get better. But
I want to be the weakest guy in the room, right? Like, I mean, so again, I don't want to keep talking about me. I really, this is about you, actually, just so you know. But like,
no, go ahead, man, go ahead.
Like, for me as a musician, my the thing I was seeking was, can I find other musicians that are better than me? Now, I know that sounds really, you know, bad, and it's not supposed to be. I don't think I'm all that. That's not what I mean. I just didn't want to be the best guy in the band. I always wanted to be surrounded by musicians that made me better, right? Brought me up to their level. And so I kind of translate what you just said as, there's always somebody better. I mean, look at Animals as Leaders as being technically, they have to be the best band in the world, technically. I mean, just from
they have
pure,
to be around somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I can't,
other great bands, but in terms of metal and this kind of metal, they're pretty up there. Yeah.
Yeah. Like who does that? I mean, you can't say like, oh, well, I think, because like Dream Theater is very progressive.
I really love Dream Theater, by the way.
right. But it's not the same thing. You know, it's more, you know, traditional progressive metal, you know, even power metal, even, right?
Yeah.
I don't know where I'm doing with this now. but yeah, I just think, you know, I think there's something fun about being the weakest link in the room. So I love that challenge of having it all that pressure on me. Do you like pressure?
Depends on the kind of pressure, I have to say. There's some nice pressure or forms of excitement, like when you go on stage or when you have to learn the difficult part and then you do it and then you're really happy with it. And there's some kind of bad pressure, like when you have an exam or you have to go to the dentist. And I don't want that pressure. I don't want that.
To go to the dentist. that
pressure. Yeah. But I understand the thing with you want to be the weakest in the band. I think you don't want to be the weakest in the band, but you don't want to be the best in the band. And you already said that because right. you don't want to go to everyone and teach them how to do it. The people you want right. to gain something from your peers and right. not have to be the teacher and the mother or the father for them. It's totally understandable because it's really, it's frustrating when you're the best.
Yeah. I mean, so as an example, I play disc golf. I don't know what you do if you do any sports, but disc golf, like frisbee.
Frisbee, ultimate frisbee? Or what?
No, there's actually a sport. So it's just like golf, but you use frisbees instead.
Oh, I think I saw that at a park. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a ton of fun. But I take it really seriously now. And it's actually a really, it's a, upcoming sport. It's becoming a thing finally. Anyway, long story short is I get asked all the time, do I want to go play disc golf, you know, with various people? And I realize they're asking me to go because they want me to teach them. And I it's not that I'm trying to be selfish. I want to go play with somebody who's going to kick my ass because I want to get better.
Yeah, you want a challenge. It's like, especially in terms in sport, you want when you're a competitive person. Some people are not a competitive person; they don't care about the results. But as you already said, you seem like a competitive person. Mm-hmm. I looked it up, disc golf, and I already started with the chains, with the buckets, and on sticks, and we have a local park. And you walk around with a backpack and with all the frisbees in it, and they have different colors, right? Yeah. I saw that. Yes. I saw that.
Yes, different colors. And they're like, like in golf, you have different clubs, right, to hit at different angles.
Yeah.
Right? And in disc golf, the discs do different things. Some turn to the right, some turn to the left, it's really cool. So... So come to America or I'll come to Germany and we'll play. Okay.
I will be very terrible at it. I can say that.
Well, but see, I would take you out because you're a cool guy. Well, okay. So back to music. I'm not a negative person. I'm not, but I always want to ask this question because musicians, like I said, tend to be crazy. You're not crazy.
No, I'm not crazy.
The band, like you mentioned, tends to be very happy. But what, you know, do you have a self-destructive habit? And I ask this question because, well, I do. And I'm always kind of curious what people do sort of accidentally. You know, how do they sabotage their lives? What are they afraid of at times? You know what I mean? And because this show is listened to mostly by musicians, I've met a lot of musicians with mental health issues, for example. Yeah. You don't have to divulge anything super personal. You don't even have to answer the question, but I'm curious if you have a habit or you've overcome it so, you know, you can give hope to others.
In our band, I think no one has really mental health issues. So
it's good.
We're really blessed in terms of that because in our circle of friends, a lot of people have to deal with these kind of problems. And actually, we're playing on a festival in September, I think, which is Benefits, how it's called. It's a funding for mental health issues. So yeah,
awesome.
So we help there. But I think the thing, if you regret something or a self-destructive things besides alcohol and this kind of stuff, is like, having regrets to choose this way of life because you put all your eggs in one basket. Like being a musician is already a tough choice. Yes. And then you choose to do metal music, which is a tougher choice because you don't have so much people listening to metal music.
Right.
If you do music like, exactly. If you do hip hop, it's like this. If you do metal, it's like this.
Yeah.
So this, it can't even go that high. And so you're, even if you're starting through and they're really, really popping off, then even then the ceiling isn't that high. So I really hope, I'm a bit afraid of being really old and you have no family, no, you reach nothing in life, just nothing.
Yeah.
You tried your best to be a successful musician, and it depends on what you want in your life. You want a big house and a family and a big car and a bank account full of money. That might work out as a musician, but
probably won't.
Exactly. If we are successful, it doesn't mean we are rich.
That's right. Well, the cheesy thing to say is I may not be financially rich, but I'm rich in spirit, right? Or something like that.
It's cheesy, but it's true.
It's so important to be happy. And the thing that I've learned is the ultimate thing is gratitude, to be grateful for the experiences, to be grateful for the moment. And like I look at you, I've just met you 45 minutes ago, and I like this guy. You know, I know if I were in your town, I could call you up and say, hey, would you like a cup of coffee? And we could hang out and we could chat, you know, and you could teach me.
I show you around and show you the golf, the disc golf course.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.